From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, God Repays. The text is Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. We are to give to the poor out of pity, not to be seen and applauded, much less to get influence over them, but out of pure sympathy and compassion we must give them help. We must not expect to get anything back from the poor, not even gratitude. But we should regard what we have done as a loan to the Lord. He undertakes the obligation, and if we look to Him in the matter, we must not look to the second party. What an honor the Lord bestows upon us when He condescends to borrow of us! That merchant is greatly favored who has the Lord on his books. It would seem a pity to have such a name down for a paltry pittance. Let us make it a heavy amount. The next needy man that comes this way, let us help him. As for repayment, we can hardly think of it. And yet, here is the Lord's note of hand. Blessed be His name. His promise to pay is better than gold and silver. Are we running a little short through the depression of the times? We may venture humbly to present this bill at the Bank of Faith. Has any one of our listeners been a bit of a screw to the poor? Poor soul. May the Lord forgive him.
Word have
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns returns to verse 18 of chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." It is the final phrase of the verse upon which Dr. Cairns will focus. Part of Romans chapter 1 declares that God has left mankind without excuse as to the demands of his holy law. The knowledge of God and what he requires is engraved upon every man's conscience. Yet man in his rebellion chooses to suppress that knowledge. It is that suppression of God's truth which is the foundation of sin. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message entitled, Stifling God's Truth.
Tonight we're returning to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be reading from verse 18. From the 18th verse of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. We finish in verse 23. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is elaborating upon a very solemn message. In context, he is saying that in the gospel, God has revealed the way in which he justifies sinners by faith in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mankind stands in urgent, desperate need of this revelation of righteousness that he describes in verse 17, because, verse 18, the wrath of God stands revealed already against all men's ungodliness and unrighteousness. In past studies, we have already considered the reality of the wrath of God. That is a theme that man would fain obliterate from Holy Scripture, the wrath of God. It is interesting that in the New Testament, while any inspired writer may be the vehicle for conveying this or any truth with ultimate authority, nonetheless, and I believe it is because of the peculiar terribleness of this truth, God so ordered it that it was not an apostle who expounded this great truth, at least in its fullness. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And of all the preachers in the New Testament, it is Christ himself who most frequently, most fully, and most finally defines, describes the wrath of God, the reality of God's wrath, because there is wrath. Beware. That is the message of Scripture. That is a word that needs to be brought to men and women today when there is little or no fear of God before the eyes of men. Because there is wrath, beware. Then we thought of the revelation of God's wrath. We noticed that it is being revealed. The wrath of God is not something that is held over merely to the future. We tend to think that the wrath of God comes at the end of a Christless life, or it comes after the great judgment day. And while that is true insofar as it goes, the revelation of wrath is not something held merely for the future. If you look at your Bible, you'll find that God's wrath has been revealed throughout history. What was God's movement against the world in the days of Noah's flood but the wrath of God? What was the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain but the wrath of God? What was God's mighty judgment upon Israel and then upon all the surrounding nations in the days of the prophets? It was the wrath of God. What was it in the day of Christ when he cried, "Woe unto thee, Capernaum! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! Woe unto thee, Chorazin!" These cities in which most of his mighty works had been done. What was he declaring against them? It was the wrath of God. Throughout history, we see that wrath. And it would be a capital mistake for us to imagine that the movings and the revealings of the wrath of God were limited to biblical history. In providence, we see God moving throughout all history, right up until this present time. And while I must admit, we are very apt to misread the book of history without the interpretation inspired by the Holy Ghost in Scripture, nonetheless, it is absolutely true that the wrath of God is being revealed. And as we go on down this chapter in future studies in the will of God, I hope that the fearful reality of that statement will grip every heart. Because when we get down this chapter a little bit, we are going to see something that is as up to date as tomorrow morning's newspaper headlines and stories. We're going to find God revealing America. And I say America not exclusively, but it's not much use me preaching about Ireland when I'm in America, any more than it's useful for me to preach about America when I'm in Ireland. We will find God setting forth America as it really is. And we will discover that the wrath of God is being revealed. The revelation of God's wrath. And of course it still awaits its full and awful and final outpouring in the future. If anyone doubts the reality and the revelation of the wrath of God, he has only to visit Calvary. For there the God who spared not the old, the angels that sinned, and then the old world in the days of Noah when it sinned, spared not his own dear son. There you have the greatest demonstration of the wrath of God in all history. The center cross on Calvary. We have noted the reason for God's wrath. It is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. All ungodliness and all unrighteousness. Some take that to be sins against the first table of the law and sins against the second. Sins against God, sins against men. That may be true up to a point. I think that this is a description of sin in its totality. Sin in its root and sin in its fruit. Sin toward God with all the wickedness that that then produces. And they hold, we are told, the truth in unrighteousness. And that is what causes the wrath of God to be poured out upon them. The truth here in this section, at the end of verse 18, the truth, they hold the truth, is what theologians call the truth of general or natural revelation. The Westminster Confession of Faith, in its very first section, in its very first chapter, says, although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God as to leave men inexcusable, yet they are insufficient to give that knowledge of God and of His will which is necessary unto salvation. But in creation, God reveals, manifests, makes plain His goodness, His wisdom, and His power. At least that. This is the truth that sinners hold in unrighteousness. Now, what does it mean that they hold it in unrighteousness? That is two possible meanings, and I'm always intrigued when you read the experts, the linguists, the commentators, the theologians, how that one will come down on one side and say the Greek can mean nothing else. In context, it must mean this, the usage demands this, and the other one will say the Greek can mean nothing else, the very opposite of what he's saying. And they can all be so very, very sure Now, most of the time, they're just showing just how very certain of themselves they are. I'm going to say that there are two possible meanings. In fact, I'll go further and say that the word is bound to hold both meanings, because if it didn't hold the first, it couldn't hold the second. The first meaning is the word means hold in the sense of possess. They possess the knowledge of the true God, but they pervert it by the sinful use that they make of it. Is the text saying that? I believe you've only got to read on down through the context, and you'll see that's precisely what the text is saying. It's saying that all men, every nation that ever existed throughout history, possessed the knowledge of God. Not going to anticipate what we'll say in chapter 2, but there we discover God has gone so far as to write His law upon the heart of every man who ever lived. They possessed the knowledge of God. But what did the nations do with that knowledge? They perverted it. The whole ancient world is one vast example of it. Do you notice that with that knowledge, men never, never, never arrived at the true worship of God or the worship of the true God? From that they devolved or developed a whole system of theology that was wicked, idolatrous, and a denial of everything that God had ever revealed about Himself. The modern world is no better than the ancient. Men possess the knowledge of God. That's why ultimately it is a fool's game to try to prove the existence of God to an atheist. You may as well try to prove His own existence to him. For at the heart He knows the one as much as He knows the other. They possessed the knowledge of the truth, and they put it to a sinful use. But most commentators believe that the word here means they hold it down in the sense of suppressing. In fact, some translations actually use that word. They suppress the truth. That is a little strong, probably, because it gives the idea that they're successful. And of course they're not. That's the whole point of this passage. Thomas Chalmers had the idea, he gave the word stifle, and I think that's as good a translation then as any. They hindered, they stifled. They stifled the truth in unrighteousness. The truth that God has stamped on all creation. They stifle its witness in order that they may escape God's authority over them. In order that they may break, as they think, free from the stipulations of God, His law, His word, and indeed His gospel. They stifle the witness. So they, and you'll see why I say both must be true. They couldn't stifle it if they didn't possess it, could they? That's why I'm somewhat amazed at learned commentators saying it cannot mean they possess the truth in unrighteousness. I submit if they don't possess it, they can't stifle it. And this is what they're doing.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.